Welcome to the Gregory Digout Podcast.
Welcome back, and I want us to pick up right where we left off last Sunday on Father's Day. And today's teaching I simply called, it's really more of a prayer. It's this teaching is going to turn into a prayer and turn into a moment of prayer. But I called it today, Father, Father Me. And I want that to be our prayer together today. Father, Father Me. Father, Father Us. You know, the kingdom of God is all about a father and his family. The universe is all about a father and his family. The God's intention for us is all about him as our heavenly father and for us to be a part of his family. As we grow up, though, we grow up with damage. We grow up with wounds. We develop wounds over time, scars, pain, trauma in our soul, in our body, in our mind, in our emotions. And our parents didn't always know how to raise us. And it's okay because, you know, the best any parent can ever do is half of the job, because the other half is God's responsibility. For each of us to go to God as our Heavenly Father and be fathered by the Father, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, is also the Father of fathers. Father, he's the father of fathers and mothers. He's the father of all of his children. And we need him to father us through our fears, our insecurities, heal us where we grew up with pain and grew up with trauma, and be a part of a becoming healthier and healthier part of his family. And you'll always be a part of his family, but the healthier that you are in your soul, the more impact that you can have in your life and in your family and in your loved ones and in your business and your calling and your destiny. And so, Father, Father Me, would you just pray that with me? Father, Father Me. Father, Father Me. You know, in John chapter 10, verse 29, as we talked about last week, the six most power-filled words in the world, my Father is greater than all. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And we just extracted those six words, my Father is greater than all. And we talked about how we can experience this Father. And first and foremost is by going directly to him. Remember, I shared a verse in John chapter 16, verse 26 in the Passion Translation, and I will not need to ask the Father on your behalf. I will not need to ask the Father on your behalf, for you'll ask him directly because of your new relationship with me, Jesus said. When he said that to his disciples, he's saying that to you and me as well. I will not need to ask the Father on your behalf, for you'll ask him directly because of your new relationship with me. So let's go directly to him and ask him to father us today, right? Secondly, I mentioned that to experience this Father, we need to come home to the family. We need to come home to the Father. Some of us have been away from God and away from our church family, and it's time to come home. Whether home for you is joining us online or whether home for you is joining us in person, come home. It's safe. It's going to be all right. You don't have to hide because you failed or you blew it or you sinned or you messed your life up. We've all done that. We're still family. And God is still Father. Come home. Get reconnected. When you're planted in God's house, you flourish. I've never seen Christians flourish outside of the connection to a spiritual family. I've seen in all areas of our lives, when we're planted in God's house, that's when we flourish. Psalm 92, verse 13, I believe it says, when we're planted in God's house, we flourish like trees in the courts of God. You know, the church hasn't been the family that it should be in this earth. It's often been a place where people feel judged, or people feel marginalized, or people feel that they don't measure up. And I don't ever want anybody to feel that. We are a church of happy, imperfect people. You can never really be happy until you can accept the fact that you're imperfect, but you can also accept the fact that God loves you still, God called you still, God wants to spend time with you still, God wants to use you still. We are happy, imperfect people. Planted in God's house, come home to your Father, come home to your church family. If you haven't been regularly connected, connect regularly, weekly, all the time, whenever we have a service, join, connect, and talk to someone, reach out to someone, join our connect team, and anywhere in the world, and be a part of this family. Third thing we said was we're gonna care for the fatherless. This is how we experience the fatherhood of God, is by caring for the fatherless. And we minister to thousands of orphans and the fatherless around the world and in our own community as well. And whenever we're serving others, whenever we're helping others, then we're really serving Jesus. And the Bible says, when Jesus said, when you've done this to the least of these, you've done it unto me. We took a moment last Sunday at the end of our service and invited people to give towards our fatherless outreach, which is our yearly tradition on Father's Day. And so if you didn't get an opportunity to give in that moment, feel free to do so during this service or at the end. We'll have a moment as well if you'd like to give at that time. But so we go directly to the Father, we come home to the family, and we care for the fatherless. This is how we experience God as our Father. But when we're living our everyday lives, we suffer through some of our insecurities. And I want to ask the Father to heal you and to heal us, me and you and all of us together, of our insecurities. Why? Because insecurity does damage to the soul. Insecurity leads to withdrawal from close relationships. Men are insecure around other men. Women surround themselves maybe with others that don't pose a threat to them, to their sense of security. I try to always surround myself with people that are better than me. I try to surround myself and listen to people that are further along than me because I want to grow and I want to change. And I didn't always want that. It was always often a battle in my soul because I was dealing with insecurities. And so it's easy sometimes when you're insecure, if you listen to those feelings, it's easy for you to settle for surrounding yourself with people that don't help you grow, but rather feed into negativity or feed into the narrative that you're a victim and you're insecure and you'll never make it and you can't overcome this. And I just believe that you can overcome anything because greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. But insecurity comes from, or it leads, the reason why it's so destructive is it leads to withdrawal from healthy relationships. We withdraw from healthy relationships. It leads to aggressiveness, oftentimes in a passive aggressive form, and it leads to over aggressiveness to kind of compensate for the feeling of weakness inside of us. Everybody deals with insecurity and it's okay. You just we should want to deal with it God's way so we can be healed from it because it's a form of fear. And God wants to deliver us from all our fears. And it leads to letting the wrong people influence you. It leads to lashing out in anger at times, insecurity does. It causes you to be hard. It's hard to take correction when you're insecure. It makes us defensive. It makes us full of pride. It makes us angry. It leads to jealousy and comparing to others and negative emotions that come from a sense of powerlessness. This is why insecurity is so important to heal ourselves from, or to go to the Father to heal us from. Insecurity reduces us to mere mortality. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, he says, "For you are still fleshly, for since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men?" In other words, he's telling us that walking like mere men is less than what God intended us to be. He said, when we're walking like mere men, we're less than what God created us for. Created us to be powerful and to be glorious manifestations of His love and His creation and His kindness and His strength and His power. And so insecurity robs us of these things. I want to get to the solution for that, which is going to be really simple, and it'll make sense to you when we get to that. But what is insecurity? What it is simply is it's a gap. Insecurity is a gap. It's a feeling that there's a gap between who God says you are and who you feel that you are. It's a gap between how we want others to see us and how we see ourselves. There's a gap. And when that gap is closed, we're healed of insecurity. But our life's pains and our life's and our mistakes and our shortcomings and our flaws and the things we don't like about ourselves create this gap between feeling good about ourselves and feeling bad about ourselves. And God wants to close that gap. And I believe we're going to close it today. But insecurity means to be without a root. It means without sufficient grounds to have confidence. Listen to what insecurity is. Insecurity comes from being without a root, without a cure, and without sufficient grounds for confidence. So love is our root. We're rooted and grounded in the love of God. And love is the cure. The love of God is the cure to the insecure feelings that we have, that we realize that God accepts us as we are, the way we are. He doesn't leave us as we are, the way we are, but He accepts us as we are, the way we are. And then He works inside of us from the inside out to transform our lives to become more and more in the image of who He intended us to be in our soul. We already are that in our born again spirit. But insecurity means without a cure, without a root, and without sufficient grounds to have confidence. And when you can't pray with confidence, you really can't pray. When you can't pray with confidence, you really can't pray effectively. The Bible says we can go boldly to the throne of His grace. We can have confidence in the day of judgment, even when the devil's trying to judge us and condemn us and put us down and accuse us. We can have boldness even in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we. So that's really what starts to set the cure for insecurity. But insecurity gaps grow. Where do they come from? Insecurity gaps grow out of a persistent sense of being unaccepted. That this gap is created and we feel insecure because we don't feel accepted. Or an insecurity gap grows from being in a broken home, growing in a broken home, being in an abusive relationship, relationship scars that can cause this gap to be created. Thirdly, where insecurity comes from is it comes from a poor body image. Now, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, how we need to learn how to enjoy all things in life, enjoy God, enjoy our relationship with God, enjoy our relationship with ourselves, enjoy our relationship with our body, enjoy our relationship with food, like to have a healthy relationship with your body, is to accept it, not beat it up, not make it feel bad, not feel shame because it's not where you want it to be. You can modify and change and improve it, but you have to approve of it first. You have to know that God approves of you. God liked you enough and God thinks your body was good enough for Him to come and live inside of through the Holy Spirit. So it's not as bad as you might think it is when you compare. But that's because we're comparing to other people, and we should want to improve and we should want to get better. But so often we have a poor body image that results in a sense of shame and self-consciousness that begins to permeate and create a gap from us being confident in our communication with people, for us to feel safe that we can talk to people without, and that we can even be vulnerable without feeling insecure about it, without feeling inferior. You don't have to live in this sense of inferiority. Jesus elevated us. When He was raised from the dead, He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in heavenly places, right? But insecurity also comes from feeling overshadowed by others, feeling like other people are always better than you. And it's okay to learn how to celebrate people's success without you feeling like that's a threat to your success. There's enough success to go around. God has enough goodness and enough blessing and enough miracles and enough healing for everybody. God never runs out. He runs us over with His goodness, but He never runs out of His goodness. Insecurity gaps are created by comparisons with other people. Insecurity gaps are created by a significant failure that's taken place in your life, a sense of loss that's taken place in your life. Maybe you had a financial failure, maybe you had a relationship failure, and maybe that has created this apprehension and this insecurity in any future relationships because you just lost your confidence and you lost your sense of self-love and not in a self-centered way, but loving yourself in a healthy, biblical way. And somehow you lost that, or that was damaged or scarred because of a loss, a failure. I know when sometimes we make a bad decision or we fail in a business situation, a financial situation, we feel like, oh, why aren't I smart enough? Why aren't I this enough? Why aren't I that enough? Why didn't I do that enough? And we got to stop living in this, stop letting our failures shape our identity of ourselves. And I'm going to get to that in a few moments. Because what I've learned to do is to use my insecurity as something that draws me to God. I want you to see this verse in Psalm 34, verse 4. It's one of my life verses, and it says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivered me from all my fears. In other words, it's okay to recognize, wow, I have all these fears, I have these insecurities, so what do I do with them? I should awaken to the power of going to the Lord about them. He said, I sought the Lord and He heard me and He delivered me from all my fears. If we will go to the Father, like I said at the beginning and at the end of last week and at the beginning of this service, that we can go directly to God and we can say, Lord, here's my fears, here's my insecurities, here's what I'm insecure about. I'm insecure about the gap in my teeth. I'm insecure about my, you know, my ears being too big or my nose or my, you know, I just am not like so-and-so, and I'm not like that. I don't have the success, and I'm not as smart, and I don't have the money. It's okay, go to God with those things. Don't go to yourself with those things, go to God. Don't go to others with those things, go to God, go directly to the Father. I sought the Lord and He heard me and He delivered me from all my fears. That's what we're here to experience. That's what you get to do. That's what we can all do. We don't have to try to hide our insecurities and hide our fears and have all these defense mechanisms to put all these walls up around ourselves. We can have healthy relationships if we will take our fears and our insecurities to the Lord. Because there's always going to be somebody that has something that you feel like you don't have, or they're better at something that you don't feel you're as good at. But there's always going to be somebody that's worse than you. And if you try to gain your identity from comparing to either side of those on the spectrum, they both fail just fully and completely. They fail to give you the sense of healing from the insecurity that is deeply rooted in each of our souls, coming from Adam and Eve, who gave birth to us into a world of inferiority, a sense of inferiority and insecurity. So what is the solution to this? I'm going to take you to a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 17, and we're going to see three things in Matthew chapter 17 that the Father displays to us and shows us. And some of you will recognize this verse because it sounds like a similar verse that we read out of, but it's different. Because this is now at the Mount of Transfiguration. Now, Jesus has taken Peter, James, and John to the Mount of Transfiguration with Him, where He's transformed and all the glory of God comes on Him. And they see Him in His glory, or a greater measure of His glory, right? And it's incredible what takes place in Matthew chapter 17. Well, let's just read it. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. Let's start there. Matthew 17, verse 1, and we'll find these three beautiful secrets to healing from insecurity in this passage. So Matthew chapter 17, he says, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, led them up to a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them talking with him. Like, you can imagine this. You're there and you see all of a sudden Jesus turns into the sun, like the literal physical sun, and all the glory around him. And then Moses and Elijah are talking with him. And Peter says, out of this sense of insecurity, I believe, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll make three tabernacles here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. While he was speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of that cloud said, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And I want you to see this verse in the NIV translation, verse 5. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them. And a voice from the cloud, watch this, said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. In the Berean literal translation, it says, this is my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. One more translation I'll read to you, then we'll come back to the NIV. In the New Living Translation, I love this verse because it reminds me of what the Father said to Jesus after he was baptized as well. It says, but even as he spoke, Peter was speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. Listen to him. This is my dearly loved son who brings me great joy. Listen to him. Brings me great joy is the equivalent of well-pleasing to me. This has nothing to do with our behavior because, now don't get me wrong, I'm not encouraging bad behavior, but I want you to know that Jesus, the Father himself, feels about you that you bring him great joy. You're well-pleasing to him. What is it that we can do to bring him great joy and be well-pleasing to him? Number one, because you're his. Number two, because you believe. It brings him great joy because you are his. And it brings him great joy because you believe. It's well-pleasing to him. You're well-pleasing to him because you believe. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. This is a well-pleasing to him concept. It's that we bring him great joy when we recognize we are his. We bring him great joy when we believe him and trust him. Believe what Jesus did for us. But if you go back to the NIV translation, and we'll tie this all together and close with this over the next few moments. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased. Listen to him. Now, so there's three things that the Father says to Jesus. Number one, this is my son whom I love. Now Jesus is, the Father is establishing what Jesus' identity is in. Jesus' identity is not limited to being the son of Mary and Joseph. This man is God's son, and so are you. Remember, as he is, so are we in this world, right? So the Father says, this is my son whom I love. So Jesus doesn't get his identity from his performance. He doesn't get his identity from the miracles that he does. He doesn't get his identity from healing people. He doesn't get his identity from preaching. He doesn't get his identity from being popular. He doesn't get his identity from doing all the works that he did and having all the thousands of people listening to him. He doesn't get his identity from anything external. He gets his identity from the Father's voice saying, you are my son. This is my son whom I love. And what I want you to hear is this, is that there are many voices trying to tell you what you should identify with. Well, you should identify with, you should, you know, become a part of this gender or do this gender, or you're a man or you're a woman, you're black, you're white, you're this, you're that. We don't get our identity from our color. We don't get our identity from our gender. We don't get our identity from the people that we grow up with or our friends. We don't get our identity from our education or our job or our business or our finances or our status in life. We get our identity from the Father. We need to draw all of the sense of who we are from the Father. This is my Son whom I love. God wants you to hear, this is how you will deliver yourself, or this is how he will heal you from insecurity. This is how he will father you, by you embracing this reality. I am a child of God. I am a child of my Father. My Heavenly Father calls me his son or daughter, and he's singing over me, he's rejoicing over me. I bring him great joy. Identity, number one. If we're gonna be healed, and if we're gonna let the Father father us, number one, we gotta get our identity from him. We're a chip off the old block. We're made in his image. We're the sons of God. Behold, what manner of love is this? 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love is this, that the Father would call us his children, that we should be called. What a great love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called his children. You're his son, you're his daughter. Our identity doesn't come from your last name. It comes from Jesus' name. Your identity doesn't come from these DNA tests that people do, or these, you know, find out who your distant relatives were 1,000 years ago. Why don't we just go to the beginning and realize our distant relatives were Adam and Eve, and they screwed it all up for us. But Jesus comes to restore us to our rightful place as sons and daughters. Our identity doesn't come from our last name, from our college education, from our political affiliation. Our identity needs to come only from the Father saying, you're my son, you're my daughter, whom I love, my dearly loved, my beloved. You say, we ever gonna talk about something else? Why would you wanna stop talking about who God is? Father, God is love, and he calls you his sons and daughters. Our identity needs to come from that. We need people's attention, we need people's affection, we need people to, you know, see us as successful. That should tell us, that should be a mirror to us, that we're not trusting in our identity that God gave us. We're not drawing our sense of self and sense of identity from him. We're drawing it from what people think of us. And we've got to, like, cut the cord to that by just attaching ourselves to the bosom of the Father and drink only what he's saying about us and receive only what he's saying about us. So number one, identity. There are many competing voices today that want to define us, but Jesus knew who he was and thus was able to fulfill his purpose. We too must recognize that the only voice that we should be listening to about our identity is the voice of our Heavenly Father. That's where we get our identity from. Number two, the Father said, with him I am well pleased. Our emotional health and well-being must also flow from the Father. Have you ever wondered why Jesus could tolerate so much rejection, ridicule, opposition? You see, God wants us to know that not only do we get our identity from him, but we get our affirmation from him also. I'm pleased with you. I approve of you. I've checked all the boxes on your behalf. You're good. You're accepted. You're in the beloved. He affirms us. So we need to understand that in this verse, we're gathering where Jesus got his identity from the Father. Where he got his affirmation from the Father. I'm well pleased with him. Jesus could tolerate rejection, ridicule, and opposition because he knew he was pleasing to the Father, and that was enough for him. It has to be enough for you, starting today. It has to be enough for you that you are pleasing to the Father because you know you're His, and you're pleasing to the Father because you know who you are as a son or daughter of God. You know you're His, and you believe that you are who He said you are. You know you're His, and you believe. That's enough. You don't need anybody else's affirmation on top of that. That is sufficient. That is enough. And number three, these are the three things that the Father will heal. These are the three ways the Father will heal us from our insecurities, and He will father us. Number one, we get our identity from Him as Father. Number two, we get our affirmation from Him as Father. And number three, what's next? We get our authority from Him as Father. So the Father says, listen to Him. Look at that verse again. He says, this is my dearly loved Son. This is my Son whom I love. This is my Son whom I love. With Him I'm well pleased. Listen to Him. In other words, the Father is declaring to the disciples, listen to Him. The Father is declaring to the demons around, listen to Him. The Father is declaring to the mountains around, listen to Him. The Father is declaring to sickness, listen to Him. The Father is declaring to all the opposition that would come against Him, listen to Him. You're all going to listen to Him because I've given Him authority, and He's given you that same authority, because as He is, so are we in this world. And Jesus said, behold, I give you authority to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, nothing shall by any means injure you, hurt you, or harm you. You have been given authority. You get your identity. The Father has given you an identity. You're a son or daughter of Him. The Father has given you affirmation. He is pleased with you because you know you're His, and He's pleased with you because you trust Him. You believe His word, and you take Him at His word. And the Father heals us of our insecurities by giving us the authority that life has to listen to us. Circumstances have to listen to us. Mountains have to listen to us. Demons have to listen to us. Our bodies have to listen to us. Listen, when you begin to declare, I'm healed by His stripes, your body starts listening to you. When you begin to say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and you know you have authority from the Father, then that mountain is going to obey you just as if the Father said it Himself. When you get a hold of these three things, my identity, the Father fathers me by giving me an identity as His son or daughter. The Father fathers me by giving me my affirmation that He's happy with me, that He enjoys me, that I please Him because I trust Him. And the Father fathers me through my insecurities by giving me authority. And life has to listen to me. Demons have to listen to me. Now, we're not supposed to go around just tell people what to do. I mean, unless you have people that's your job and they work for you, that's different. That's not what I'm talking about. But you don't go around telling people. When He says listen to Him, it means life, circumstances, the things that are happening in our lives will listen to us because death and life are in the power of the tongue. God the Father Himself gives you that authority. Let me pray for you right where you are. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, this is your moment. Receive your identity from the Father. Receive your affirmation from the Father. Receive your authority from the Father. If you've never received that, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, come on, let's pray together. Pray this out loud after me. Heavenly Father, that's it. Just say that. Heavenly Father, I invite Jesus Christ into my life as my Savior and Lord. I believe. Just pray that out loud. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. Now, I am a child of God. If you prayed that prayer, you are in the family of God. Let me know. Please let me know. Write me. Reach out to me. Social media me. Get a hold of me. Tell us. Call us. Whatever you got to do. Whatever you got to do, you're part of the family now. And I got a book for you. It's called The Power of a New Life. It's absolutely free. Anywhere in the world, you can download it. Anywhere in the world. So download it now. And as we close, I want to just closing prayer for the fatherless and for us to be healed and for us to also remember to take care of the fatherless. So I want to give you a moment. If you weren't able to give last week, in this moment, please take a moment and give to our outreach to the fatherless, because that's one of the ways to really access the power of the Father is by helping the fatherless, and experience the Father by helping others experience the Father, the fatherhood, the love, the provision of God. Thank you in advance as well for your help and your support. Father, thank you that we are healed. Just lift your hands right where you are. Just say, Heavenly Father, I receive your fathering. Father, father me. I receive it now. Heal me of my insecurities. I bring them to you. I receive my identity from you, my affirmation from you, my authority from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, don't miss our next service, and I can't wait to see you then. I love you guys. God bless.
Hey everyone, we hope you enjoyed that powerful message. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast for more amazing messages like what you just heard. You can also search for Gregory Dickow on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter for tons of great content throughout the week.